Well, good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. Have you guys been blessed so far today? I've been sincerely blessed myself with all the music. Thank you so much for everyone who's participated and led in music. I've been sincerely blessed. I want you guys to know something. I'm getting old. Yesterday, I was eating breakfast after going on a run. It was oatmeal with almond milk and peanut butter and then some berries and everything, and I bit into a blackberry, and I got a seed, and I bit into the seed, and then I felt a little bit more, and I'm like, ah, Ava, and I spit out a piece of my tooth, and so... And then just now, as I got up here to do welcome and prayer earlier, I lost hearing in my left ear. So I'm getting old. So pray for me. I'm falling apart at 25 years old. Man, what sin does to people, you know, it just degrades us. But yeah, let's have a word of prayer. More prayer, more power. Jesus, I just want to thank you so much for, once again, fellowship, for being able to be in your presence and worship freely with one another. I ask that you would bless these few loaves and fishes so that we may be fed. I pray in your name. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to be spending time in Acts chapter 4, specifically verse 13. And I have one point that I want to make today, and that is reveal Christ through your life. Reveal Christ through your life. My one point, one takeaway, reveal Christ through your life. This week, or last weekend, I got the permission to tell this story. So I visited Jeannie Arts in the hospital, and she's such a lovely, lovely saint, and she just has a passion and a love for Jesus. And I go in there, and I see she's making up her bed, and she looks at me, and I said, Jeannie, is that you? And she's like, oh, Pastor Caleb! And she came over, gave me this big old bear hug, and I honestly didn't think she was going to let go, because she was just holding on so tightly, and she said, I love you, Pastor Caleb. I said, oh, thanks, I love you too. And we sit down, and we're talking. And as we're talking, within the duration of our conversation, a CNA comes in, and she says, hi, I'm just checking on Jeannie today. And Jeannie's laying on her bed, and she turns back, rolls over, and says, hey, darling. And she takes her hand, and while looking at her directly in her eyes, she says, did you know that you are the child of the Most High King of all the universe, and that he loves you? And I just wanted to share that with you. And the girl said, well, I guess I do now. And she said it with just the biggest smile and the giggle in her voice. And she said that. And I'll be honest, in a split moment, in a split second, I almost kind of felt a little embarrassed and kind of like uncomfortable in the situation. Like, oh no, it's one of those moments. But then it hit me like a bolt of lightning that when we are sharing Jesus, it's not about us, but it's about them meeting Jesus. And many times I think that uncomfortable feeling comes from focusing more on ourselves rather than the person. Like, ooh, how do I look right now? Is anybody watching? Will anybody hear me beyond this hospital room? Or, man, I don't think I'm really fully equipped to share Jesus correctly. I mean, honestly, I used to be a little shy to pray in a hospital room when the door was open. I would look around, see if the door was open still or not, see if people were walking past the hallway or out there, and then I would come down and say, okay, let's pray, and then, you know, you get that reverent voice. In reality, it's just a whisper voice because you didn't want anybody to hear. And or maybe it's those times where you are talking and walking with a friend in a public area, and then all of a sudden they're like, man, I love Jesus, man, let me tell you what Jesus done for you. And then you're like, oh, hey, calm down, man, people are going to hear you. And you feel a little uncomfortable when they're talking about Jesus loudly, or they're talking about something in the Bible loudly. And I don't know, have any of you experienced that, or am I the only one? Because I mean, I don't feel that way anymore, but I have felt that way in times past because I was so concerned about what people would think rather than who we were talking about. I was more concerned about, oh man, maybe someone might hear me and that ain't gonna be so cool, and you know, I don't want people to be turned off right away. But mercy, don't we remember anything that we're told through counsel? Like, I was just reminded this week through Steps of Christ that the more we talk of Jesus, the more of his presence we will have. And we're talking about, hey, I want to have Jesus in my life, and I want to talk about Jesus, yet then when we come to a public place, we don't really want to talk about Jesus at times. Or we don't want to, we want to hide the fact that maybe we're a Christian. We're not so apt to share at moments when it seems awkward, which, you know, I'm not saying to just go openly, just go crazy, but use your judgment at the same time. But like in the story with Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, it says this. They were before the Sanhedrin, before the priests and the captain of the temple, and they're asking, whose name have you healed this man in? And Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he goes on and says this in verse 8. Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Peter and John didn't take a vacation on who they were in Christ at that moment. We shouldn't switch who we are in Christ on and off depending on our physical location or social context, whether workplace or vacation place. Christians shouldn't be taking a vacation on living for or with Jesus. Sorry, that's really bothering me. Peter and John weren't taking a vacation at this moment from who they were in Christ. They took the opportunity, and when the opportunity was presented, they gave. They shared. They didn't shy away from the opportunity. No. When they were asked, they answered. And when it says that they realized their boldness, I think there's something key right there. Boldness in and of itself. They were bold because they had been with Jesus. And I dare say that if we have been with Jesus, we should be bold naturally. Because if you are the servant of the all-powerful God of the universe, we should not fear the judgments from men. No one attribute is more needful today in sharing Christ than Holy Spirit boldness due to Holy Spirit fullness. That is only accomplished when we have been with Jesus. There was something about these men, their relationship, the quality of time that they had spent with Christ was made evident within their life. They weren't hiding who they were in Christ. When they came to someone who needed healing and they were asking for money, they said, I'll give you something better than that. I'll give you Jesus and the healing that he gives. The other thing The other thing that I love about this description is that it says that they were untrained and uneducated men. Now, bear with me for a second. Now, when I read that, I feel like that right there just obliterates all of our unqualified objections to sharing Christ. Because, yes, they were uneducated in the sense that they were fishermen and they hadn't been through the rabbinical schools like all the other Pharisees, but they were educated. One, with the scriptures, and two, they had been with Jesus. Probably some of the best education you can get. Now, am I saying there's a problem with higher education? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Do not misunderstand. I'm just saying you don't need a theology degree to share Jesus. God does use educated men. Look at Paul. Look at Daniel. Just a couple of biblical examples. Look at Martin Luther and Augustine, a few historical examples. It's just as wrong to think that formal education disqualifies someone for effective service as it is to think that it automatically qualifies someone for effective service. Whether educated or not educated by the schools of this world, you can be educated and equipped in sharing Jesus. You don't need a degree. You don't need to be eloquent in speech. You don't need to be a pastor. You can be who you are in your own individual skin to share Jesus. Now, what does that look like? Does that mean that we all start looking the same and talking the same and using the same words? No. In fact, we should be sharing Jesus with our unique individuality. God made you unique and individual for a reason, because your individuality can reach other people that maybe someone else's individuality can't. Like, Mr. Adams can meet people differently in a classroom than I can meet people in a classroom. Or my wife can meet people in a hospital differently than I can meet people in a hospital. You know, you're unique. Don't forget that. And don't think that because you've had an encounter with Jesus that you have to conform to a specific model. The only model you need to be concerned about conforming to is Jesus. And then allow that life to be lived through your unique individuality. Peter and John reeked with it. They reeked. Their life reeked with Jesus. Amen. Today's sermon was entitled, Can They See Jesus? Now, in this picture, this is just one picture in which we see people realizing that these two men had been with Jesus because of their boldness and how they spoke. This morning we were talking in Sabbath school about Daniel and the characteristics that we learned from Daniel. One of the great things that we pulled out were that one of the young people brought out was that Daniel was respectful. Daniel was humble. Daniel was faithful. Don't misunderstand as boldness as being arrogant and just speaking your mind to people, but you can be bold and kind at the same time. You can be bold and respectful at the same time. But the point is, can people see Jesus in your life? When they see you, do they see, wow, if I ever needed to see what Jesus looked like, I think you're it. Because your life speaks volumes beyond what other people say or what you even say as a Christian. And in today's world, what people want to see, they're not looking for a word, they're looking for action. Young people, they like to hear words and they like to use words, but even more so, something more that people are looking for is how you are living, the action in which your life is speaking. Now, I understand that there is a struggle and that the struggle is real and that, you know, we're all on the walk of sanctification, but when you have had an encounter with Jesus, that he has come into your life and transformed your life, not everything may be perfect or transformed immediately, but there should be somewhat of a significant change that they can see in your life. Maybe you stopped going with people to movies on Friday night. Maybe because Jesus has had a conviction within your heart, created a conviction in your heart, saying, hey, this isn't me. Or maybe it's how we speak or the language we use. And, you know, I remember David Asherick one time talking about how he was coming into his transformation and everything, and he's a pastor now, and he's rock climbing with one of his friends, and he loses his grip, and his friend's non-Adventist and non-Christian, and he falls, and as he slips and catches himself, he says, oh! And he's like, oh, what did I just do? And then he runs over to his friend and says, friend, I'm so sorry. I'm working on it. I'm trying my hardest to overcome this. And his friend's just looking at him like, what? His friend never even heard him when he was shouting that. But it was the fact that he was catching himself and being concerned about what he was saying in front of people. When we have the opportunity, when Christ comes into your life, maybe you struggled with dirty humor or bad humor, and now you've had an encounter with Jesus, and now, when the moment appoints itself, you can almost, it comes so naturally that you just want to say the joke just to get someone to laugh, but you know, as a Christian, that you probably shouldn't say it. And in that moment of thinking about whether or not you share it, I believe that is the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, giving you a little bit more self-control to think about the choice you're about to make. Sometimes we choose right, sometimes we choose not to. Like I said, it's a process, but each day presents the opportunity for you to grow in that process, to continue asking God, God, what's next? Like we talked about last weekend when Paul, he asked God, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is the next thing that you want me to do? Are we examining ourselves to see, is what I'm saying, is what I'm doing, how I'm looking, or whatever, X, Y, and Z, is this reflecting Christ? And the old cliche says, sometimes the only Jesus people ever see is the one you show them. It's a great cliche, and you know, sometimes that's a reality. You may come in contact with a person who may not run into another Christian, or you may be that one person that the atheist is a friend with, and he sees you're a Christian, and that's your opportunity to present something more than words to someone who has probably been burned by just lip service Christians. God set his people aside, the Israelites. He set them aside as a special people, as an example, so that when people would see those people, they would see God. We, as Christians, are God's people. We have the opportunity and the challenge of sharing who Christ is to others through our lives. And that's the mystery of godliness, friends. It's Christ in you, revealing his in your life to show the world that you can be like Jesus and still keep your individuality, your personality, but you're more it's more sanctified now. The old man has died and there's a new man here. Do our lives reek enough for people to catch the scent of Christ within our own life. It's a challenge that I have to ask myself every day. It's a challenge I have to ask myself even in the comfortable setting of my home with my wife. I'm pastor here in front of people and in front of church members and in front of other people, but am I still Jesus in my own personal life in front of my own wife, in front of our own families? And that is a challenge. It really is. One time I remember going home after becoming a graduated theology major, and I went home and I was talking with my brother, and I had a weak moment. And I was joking around and, you know, wasn't watching what I was saying, and I didn't think about the impact of it. I was just thinking, oh, this is my brother. You know, just having fun, joshing around with him. And then later, my mom came and told me, say, you know, Jeremy was a little concerned because he's like, he's a pastor. Shouldn't he not be doing that or talking like that? And my mom, you know, bless her heart, she bestowed grace on my behalf to my brother, reminding him that he's still human. I mean, I think we get the stigma sometimes that if you're a Christian, you're exempt from error, but not so. It's by the grace of God that he covers those errors. An award-winning speaker, Liz Higgs, she told of an experience she had while waiting in an airport, waiting for a plane, and she'd been wearing a perfume, which she uses very sparingly because it's potent and it's very pricey. And one gentleman sitting next to her complained about her awful scent. And though she could, and she did, she changed her seat to help him out. Though she changed her seat, she couldn't change her scent. A scent once released is tough to contain, and skunks use this to their advantage. In the spiritual realm, since we can't change the aroma of Christ that lingers around us, even when it offends other people, we might as well just break the bottle open so they can catch the full scent and whiff of who Jesus is. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians that we are the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And in essence, you could almost sum that up as one person's beautiful is another person's ugly. Don't be worried about what you smell like, unless you didn't put deodorant on. But don't be worried about what you smell like in a spiritual sense, your scent of who you are as a Christian or what you look like as a follower of Christ. Don't be afraid of, oh, people might think I'm weird. In that sense, don't worry about what people think, because when you are serving Christ, if you are a servant of Christ, like Jeannie says, you are the child of the Most High God of all the universe. That's a name to live up to. That's nothing we should be shying away from. It doesn't matter who we're in front of, whether it's the kings or the fame and pomp of people of the world, or if it's our boss, or even our parents or our family members. Don't be afraid about who you are in Jesus, because it could be very well that you are that one person who may be used to help lead them into the kingdom of heaven. And friends, when we get to heaven, we'll be able to look back and say, heaven was cheap enough. It was cheap enough to look silly for God. It was cheap enough to possibly, maybe, get fired for God. And then he gives you a different job, a better job. It was worth the effort to even die for God. We're told we're not supposed to fear the one who can take our life, but be fearful of the one who can take our soul. When we start thinking about it in the aspect that it's not about us, but it's about other people, I think we'll become a little bit more bold. I hope it changes our paradigm shift that, or you have a paradigm shift to think that now you, wherever you are, workplace, family, vacation, your life can be used to reach others for eternity. And that's the weight of the responsibility that we as Christians are privileged with, to play a role. God doesn't need you or me. He doesn't. You've heard that before. He doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us out of mercy and grace to see that there's worth in us. This is our purpose. If you don't think you have a purpose, realize that your purpose is to be used by God in your circle of influence to bring others to Christ. That's what Jesus lived for. He said, "Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand." Bringing people to the point like, I'm the kingdom. This is me. This is what it's all about. Yes, you have things you have to worry about. You have jobs and you have needs and everything, but don't forget about me, that there's something greater to live for than just the earthly pleasures of life. Not to say we should just all quit our jobs and everything all at once and be careless about who cares about what we're going to eat. God's got to provide it, you know? I mean, in some cases that happens, but God has placed you where you're at in life, whether it's in a retirement home, a job, or jobless with your family, or whether you're a sibling. He's placed you in those circles of influence to be an example. With our children, coworkers, you name it. You have an influence, as the Bible says, that can be either an aroma of life or an aroma of death to some people. And so, when we think about day-to-day living, in a world that needs it more than ever, I think this really plays into what Mrs. White said when she said in Christ Objects Lessons, you've heard it very well, that the last message of hope and mercy is going to be a revelation of the character of love through Jesus. How is that going to be shared? Us. Through you. He's not going to wait around forever. And if you don't do it, he'll have the rocks cry out. I don't want to be behind the world anymore. I don't want to be behind a closed door anymore. I don't want to be ashamed anymore. I just want to be someone who lives for Jesus. And I want people to see Jesus. Not only through me, but I want people to see Jesus in our individual lives, no matter how young you are and no matter how old you are. Can people see Jesus? And the point of today, if I haven't driven it home enough, reveal Christ through your life. That doesn't mean you have to be turn-offish about it. You can be like Daniel, be respectful in your manners and everything, your whole aspect and how you live and react and respond to people. Reveal Christ through your life, and you be fulfilling the mystery of godliness. Let's pray. Jesus, I just want to thank you so much for each person here. And I thank you so much for the gifts and the talents that each person possesses. And more specifically, thank you so much for the individuality you have given each person to share who you are through them. I ask that you would grant us boldness, Father, and not be ashamed when these moments arrive to share, and to share with a cheerful heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.